الله سبحانه said, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قال وَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْكُ الدِّمَاءِ.
And when your Lord said to the angels, I'm going to make a succession of humans on the earth. The angel said, will you place on the earth those who will commit fasad? Fasad meaning corruption. And when the word fasad is mentioned, or the word mufsiduna, the corruptors, the corruption that is being meant here is breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu. Will you put on the face of this, on this earth, people who will break the commandments of Allah? And then the angels gave an example of that. وَيَسْتِكُ الدِّمَاء, that they will shed blood, they will kill one another, they will break the commandments of Allah subhanahu. And to demonstrate that once you break the commandments of Allah, it causes chaos, it causes disorder, it causes anarchy, it causes bloodshed. And to demonstrate this principle, Allah subhanahu mentioned something in the Quran which relates to an event that happened in the time when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his early years in Medina, the pagan Arabs of Mecca decided to march hundreds of miles to attack Medina, to annihilate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, and the religion of monotheism, Islam. The Battle of Uhud was about to take place. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions decided to come out the outskirts of Al-Medina to meet the attacking invaders, the pagan Arabs. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded a group of archers to stay at a certain hill and told them, if you see birds coming and picking us, do not move from this hill. Do not move from this hill, either for winning or losing the battle. And so the battle started, and the people on the hill, some of the people, the majority of the people on the hill, thought that the battle was swinging toward the favor of the Muslims and they would be victorious, so they left the hill to get spoils of war. A commandment was broken. The pagan Arabs took advantage of this and flanked the Muslim troops from the side, came around the mountain and caused chaos. Companions fell, were killed. A group of companions fled back to Medina in this confusion. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was injured. He was bleeding. One break of the commandment of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam caused this chaos, switched a victory to a stalemate, caused bloodshed, loss of lives, even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being injured. This is a microcosm of an example of what happens when the commandments of Allah are broken. Imagine if this is taken to a global scale. But regarding this event, this Battle of Uhud, this breaking of the commandments, as Imam al-Tabari in his tafsir mentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. O you who have believed, why do you say what you do not do? He's talking about the people who fled back to Medina, people who said that they would support and protect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did they flee? The tafsir says that this verse was then revealed as a reprimand to those who fled the scene and did not fulfill what they said they were going to do. So dislike is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ, that it is intensely despicable in the sight of Allah that you say what you don't do. As you will show shortly. Why is it so despicable and detested to Allah subhanahu that when we say we're going to follow the commandments of Allah, but then we don't, we'll show how that is linked to the Tawheed of Allah, to the monotheistic belief and action of Allah, and that's why it's so despicable. But as human beings, why do we say things and then don't do them? Sometimes we have a valid reason, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on an expedition said, we have left people in Medina. We have not traveled a bit or crossed a valley except that they are with you. And the companions were shocked. How can they be with us when they're in Medina? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then explained, حَبَسَهُمُ الْمَرَضُ, that what has held them back was illness, but they will get the reward of traveling with me and you as a companions for everything that we do. So there's a valid reason people may say, I will do something, but then don't do it because they become sick or they have a valid reason. Another reason why we say we're going to do something and we don't do it is because we find a better option. We change our mind. Another reason why we say we're going to do something and then we don't do it is that we analyze it further and think that the thing we said we're going to do is not going to make us successful, so we don't do it anymore. Another reason why we say we're going to do something and we don't do it is because we may think that we are being deprived, that we're losing out, so we change our minds. And so, if we dig deeper, that when we apply these reasons to the commandments of Allah, we find that at the essence, at the stem of these reasons is bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu. So when we say that I'm going to do a commandment of Allah, but then don't do it, if we dig deep, are we saying that there's a better way than what Allah has commanded, and that's why we're not doing it? Are we saying that the commandment of Allah will not make us successful? Do we think it's outdated? Sometimes we ask, or we say, you know, brother, why are you living this haram lifestyle? Oh, the commandments of Allah, that was revealed for 1400 years ago. This is 2023, we live in a modern time. The thought here is that Islam, the commandments of Allah, are outdated. Or we say we're going to follow the commandments of Allah and then we don't because we feel like we're losing out. We're being deprived. And if we go deep into the analysis, we're having bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu. That Allah didn't reveal the commandment or the commandments that are befitting for our time. That perhaps Allah made a mistake. That perhaps Allah forgot. Or that perhaps there was a better option, but He gave us a lesser, better option. That perhaps Allah didn't realize that when I follow the commandments, I will be deprived of happiness and a good lifestyle. These are all bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu. And so when Allah said, O you who have believed, why do you say what you don't do? Allah revealed before that this very thing that will clean and clear our bad thoughts about Allah, because our bad thoughts about Allah are the impediment that stops us from following the commandments of Allah. So Allah says in the verse before, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He says, whatever is in the heavens and the earth makes tasbih of Allah. Tasbih means to proclaim that Allah is flawless. Allah is above all deficiencies. That Allah has no imperfections. That if Allah reveals a commandment, then there is no other better option. That if Allah reveals a commandment for us, that commandment will not make us fail, but it will make us successful. That if Allah reveals a commandment, we will not be deprived of anything. But by not following those commandments, we will be deprived. So Allah is saying here before He mentions that verse, O you who have believed, why do you say what you don't do? That the whole universe is making tasbih of Allah. And as such, if we made tasbih of Allah, we would not say and then not do. And then Allah ends that verse with two names. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. That He is the Mighty. That if you believe that the commandment is coming from the Mighty, then how can anyone ever have a bad thought that this commandment from the Mighty will not make me successful? Because He's the Mighty. Whoever follows Him and His commandments will be successful, because no one can challenge. Al-Hakim, that He is the most wise. That we can't think these commandments are old or outdated, because Allah is the most wise. He has hikmatun baligha, the highest degree of wisdom, the most extensive wisdom, eternal wisdom. There can never be a mistake from Allah subhanahu. He will never reveal out of His wisdom a commandment where there is a better alternative or option out there for His creation. Believing that Allah is the most wise makes us understand that every commandment has immense wisdom behind it. So tasbih, declaring that Allah is above imperfection and having and cleaning our minds and hearts from these bad thoughts. This tasbih, these good thoughts about Allah lead us to follow His commandments. And this is why when the angels, they said, man would break the commandments, they will shed blood. The thing they said next is, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. But we're making tasbih. We will never have bad thoughts about You. We will never break Your commandments. We glorify You. We say You are flawless. وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And we proclaim Your holiness. Because tasbih leads one to follow the commandments of Allah. And if one follows the commandments of Allah, it leads them to peace and harmony and order. And this is why the angel, they said, وَإِنَّ لَنَحْنُ الصَّافُونَ. Surely we angels are lined up in order, in harmony. There's no dissonance. Why are they lined up? Why is there harmony? Why is there order? They answer the next verse. وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الْمُصَبِّحُونَ. Because we make tasbih. Tasbih leads us to follow the commandments of Allah. Following the commandments of Allah lead us to peace, harmony, and order. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. We live in a time where access to any lifestyle, any philosophy, any religion is more easy than any time in history. There are parts of the world where water is not available, but people have cell phones where they can look up anything, get access to any information. And they can try any lifestyle, any religion. In this era, in this environment of access to information and being able to try anything, Islam is the fastest growing religion. And we see throughout history, as we live in the information age, the more research and the more information comes out, the more Islam increases throughout the world. Islam is trending. The question is, why is Islam trending? Why is Islam trending? It's trending because people seek inner peace. They're looking for harmony. And if we look closely into Islam, every single commandment of Allah leads to that peace and harmony. We'll give a few examples. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La taghdab." Don't become angry. Simple commandment. Today, scientific research shows that when a person becomes angry, their heart rhythm patterns become erratic and chaotic. And then the heart then signals to the mind negativity. Then the mind then signals to the rest of the body this negative impact, where the person's health is impacted, the person gives up negative energy. As opposed to, and they have mentioned, but the same thing happens when a person is frustrated, when a person is dealing with frustration, the heart rhythm patterns become chaotic and erratic. And in Islam, the removal of frustration is subtle to be resilient. And they found that the same thing happens when a person feels insecure. And in Islam, tawakkul, trusting and relying on Allah, removes insecurity. And they found that when a person shows gratitude, shows appreciation, the heart rhythm pattern changes. It becomes smooth, it becomes harmonious, it becomes at peace. And then that heart signals the mind positive signals, where the body then gets positive energy and is associated with cardiovascular efficiency and nervous system balance. Every single thing in Islam, the appreciation, where the highest form, one of the highest forms of worship is to show shukr, gratitude to Allah subhanahu. To show gratitude to creation, man lam yashkur an-nas lam yashkur Allah. The one who is not appreciative to people has not been appreciative to Allah subhanahu. And appreciation is not just by word, it's also by acts of service. This is why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying until his feet were cracked, Aisha radiallahu anha said, why are you praying so much when Allah has forgiven your past and future sins? He said, afala akuna abdan shakura. Shall I not be a much grateful slave to Allah? That salah, that act of service is appreciation. So our acts of service to Allah is appreciation. Our acts of service to our spouses is appreciation. Our acts of service to our community members is appreciation, which makes us healthier. And they found that when a person shows love, the same thing happens. The patterns become harmonious. Love is an act of worship. Love for Allah. Fillahi, fi sabilillahi, lillahi. Love for Allah trumps everything. Who then commands us to love each other for Allah. Who then commands us to love our spouses and our families. They found the same thing happens when a person cares and has compassion. The rhythm becomes harmonious. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah will help a person whenever he is assisting his brother. So Islam is packed with this positive energy. Neuroscientists say that a person today should spend at least 30 to 25 minutes of meditation daily, because that impacts their health, reduces the baseline of anxiety and depression. And in the meditation, they say when you meditate, you should focus on something, focus on an object. Have this mindful awareness. Shift away from the worldly thoughts and focus on something else. Islam has something more meaningful that you can focus on. A more meaningful meditation that's done daily is the five prayers. And if you average of 5 minutes each, that's 25 minutes daily. And the greatest focus is focusing on our Maker. There is nothing more meaningful than that. And that's called for sure. This focus and attentiveness and humility in salah in our formal prayers. And so every single thing in Islam, someone could say, well, wait a minute, I can be a Buddhist and meditate and get peace. I can follow some scientific research and know how to have a healthy body. That could be true, but there is nothing that exists in this world where all of that is packed into one package when it contains two acts of worship, dietary laws, how to behave with one another, social interactions, community development, spiritual developments. None of that, economic conditions, none of that exists in one package. None of that then packages all of that and then directs us to the main important question of why are we on this earth? Whereas today we have people pretending and trying to figure, well, my purpose is this, my purpose is that. Islam defines what our purpose is on this earth, which gives us a sense of tranquility. And so every single thing in Islam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, that by the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, the heart finds peace and tranquility. And so Allah called the Quran a zikr, a remembrance of Allah. Allah called the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a dhikr, wa anzalna ilayka dhikra litubayyana lin-nasi ma nuzila ilayhim. Allah called the Sunnah by sayings and actions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dhikr. Allah subhanahu called the Salah dhikr. Allah subhanahu called seeking the knowledge of Islam dhikr. So everything in Islam, you have the whole Quran, the whole Sunnah is dhikr. So everything in Islam is a dhikr, is a remembrance of Allah that causes the peace and tranquility of the heart. This is why Islam is trending. Because people are attracted to peace, inner peace and tranquility, and they're finding it in fragments that are coming out now through research. Either it be the family structure in Islam, either it be the dietary conditions of Islam, regulations in Islam, etc. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who follow His commandments so we may get His true sense of inner peace and tranquility. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.